Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you were listening in the last half hour and have Pastor John Lutz is in the studio with me here again this week. There's just been so much going on that we've done a series of combined programs. It was on Christmas Day, New Year's Day, it's just to be New Era Day today, yeah. I guess, in light of things that are happening.
Yeah.
Pastor Lutz, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's always a joy to be with you, and thanks for being on the last half hour. It's been great.
Well, and we're, of course, talking about the things that are happening in our country here. It is mind-boggling. If you were watching on Wednesday and the assault on the Capitol building, and we're going to be talking about that, some of the things that took place, some things that we might be able to take away from that, understand what happened, and also perhaps hopefully look at a few things about where we may be going as a country and what it means for us as believers.
Yeah.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris come in for a Harris-Biden administration. Oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't that supposed to be Biden-Harris?
Biden won't even be
start,
in there, buddy.
To start.
He'll be gone.
It'll be to start. They'll keep him in the basement for a while.
I think it'll be an Obama. I think it'll be a third-term Obama.
Well, actually bring that up. Kamala Harris was the Obama choice.
Yeah.
They could not get her over the finish line during the Democrat primary season.
Right.
And what does that tell you about Kamala Harris? They were able to get this guy that's suffering from dementia,
yeah,
and who knows what, and he's completely out of touch and so horribly corrupt and in bed with the Communist Chinese Party.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about his son.
I'm talking about
Joe Biden himself. Right. There's things out there on that, though that's not the focus of our program today.
Yeah.
But what does that tell you about Kamala Harris? If they were not able to get her over the finish line, but they could get Joe Biden over the finish line.
Yeah.
And he's the vehicle. He's the vehicle. I mean, I'm not making predictions. Maybe he'll, if the Lord tarries and he takes office on the 20th, he'll last 4 years. But, you watch him walk.
That puts
you
him look at the 83 things. Years old. He's 79. Turned 79.
But I know some 80-some-year-old people who are alert and mentally sharp and everything. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not. And so he's the vehicle to get somebody into office that they could not otherwise get into office. And it's not because people don't want to see a woman in office or a woman of color. You ever think about that term of color? Who isn't a person of color?
That's true.
Hold your hand up against a white page. Is it the same?
Yeah.
No, it's a different. It's different color. Everybody's got color. Anyway, I go off onto that tangent. But the idea is they could not get her in there because she is to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
But when we look at what happened on Wednesday. And it was, I believe that President Trump, when he gave his speech in Georgia on Tuesday night, when he was speaking there on the Ellipse on Wednesday morning, I believe that his last hope essentially was in Vice President Pence, that he would stand up.
I think that was clear,
up. Yeah. Yeah, and when he didn't, it was like the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
And I mentioned in the last half hour, there are legal scholars on both sides of the issue who said that his job is largely ceremonial. He couldn't do anything. People on the other side of the issue, also competent legal scholars, saying he absolutely could do something.
Yeah.
And he put out a statement rather than tell the president clearly beforehand. He put out a statement, what was it, on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
I'm not sure when the statement came out. And he basically said he would not interfere with the objections and things like that because he knew where it was going.
That's right.
And
now we know, I think he was a little bit more involved in where it was going.
Unfortunately,
yes, that seems to be what's coming out.
But let me review some things that I observed and some things that stood out to me on the events on Wednesday in our nation's capital. There were many people. Channel 5, I was listening to it Wednesday night, and the 50,000 people that were there. I don't know what they were on, you know, or what they were looking at or drinking or something that night, but 50,000 people, good grief. That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard.
Yeah, that's...
There had to have been at least a million.
I think it was well over a million, but at least if you have some credibility, get us to a half a million 50, or something.
50,000, that just sounded... But at any rate, these people, even the local news has an agenda.
Yeah.
And so what happened was President Trump said, we're going to march to the Capitol building. Well, what it was to be was a show of force. It was to be patriots from all over the country standing outside, waving the American flag. Yeah. And I think it was in an effort to encourage the representatives and the senators that were going to file objections to the corrupt, unconstitutional procedures that were used in a number of states to elect Joe Biden. And I believe it was also to encourage and show Vice President Pence that Americans are with him.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't with Americans.
Well, that's becoming more and more apparent, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There were some curious things that took place. There were pallets that appeared in D.C. On Tuesday night, pallets of 2x4s, pallets of propane tanks and other things, just like what mysteriously would appear in places before BLM and Antifa riots.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, those are peaceful protests. they never did anything. In June when the Capitol was burning and the White House was under siege and the Secret Service was afraid that the White House was going to be breached imminently, and they hustled. President Trump had no say-so in the matter. What happened was the agents came in, they grabbed him, and they took him down to the bunker, only for the leftist media in this country to sniff and laugh and say, oh, he was afraid of a peaceful protest, and he went and hid in the bunker.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about how D.C. was on fire. Where was the moral outrage then? These people that have moral outrage over what happened Wednesday, if they weren't morally outraged over what happened last June when the White House was under siege and the president's life was threatened, that people who were involved in that said they wanted to get into the White House, they wanted to kill the president, and the Secret Service was afraid that their security was going to be breached, and they were wondering if the security plan would hold. That's serious stuff, and so with all of that, and then people who thought that was a peaceful protest, and then they're just the outrage they're feigning over what happened Wednesday now.
Yeah.
But here's what happened, too, to get back to what we saw. There were Antifa people seated in the crowd. There's a retired FBI agent who was present who saw a busload of Antifa. And there's other independent collaboration of that. There's Twitter videos and things. People took pictures and posted it of these Antifa people.
The one guy, I don't know if you saw it, has a hammer and sickle
on
tattoo.
His wrist,
right
on his hand, the back of his hand.
Yeah, back of his hand.
And that's
a Trump supporter.
Yeah, and so it only takes a few people in key positions to motivate a mob into doing things. If people get caught up in the mob, you know, I don't go to professional ball games and things like that. But remember, I don't know if it's, well, it can't be because they don't let you in anymore right now. But remember the wave? It would get started, and you get all these people jumping up and down doing the wave, and it would sweep across the stadium. That's a good example of how crowds can be be motivated. It just takes a few people to start it, and everybody gets in on it. Yeah. And that's how a lot of these Trump supporters wound up inside of the Capitol building. Yeah. They followed the crowd.
Including one that got shot.
Yeah. Well, not just merely shot, but targeted. You see the video.
She was jumping through the window,
and the guy has his hand there for a few moments, takes aim. He didn't just reach in and shoot and accidentally hit her.
I just wonder, we don't know, hear an audio of it. I was just curious if he was barking, because that would have breached the hallway to get to the chambers.
But at the same time, we started talking about that, we never really got to it. I'll get up to her in just a second. But so you see a guy starting to take down the fence, the security fencing. That's their first line. They had some fencing, and it wasn't very substantial. And this guy's rolling it up. Where's the security stopping him from one guy rolling up a roll of fencing? And then the crowd starts surging forward. There's other video out there showing security people directing people in certain directions.
The guy was waving his hand.
Yeah.
He was like, come on.
Then they swarmed up to the steps of the Capitol building.
Yeah.
The police begin retreating. You see some shots of pepper spray and things like that, but not much going on. And they retreated up the steps, and now they get to the exterior of the Capitol building, and you can see video of people trying to break in the windows. Now, these people, facial recognition has shown that these people have repeatedly been at BLM and Antifa events. Let's put it that way.
One guy kind of stands out. He's got the horns on and the furry hat.
In the painted face.
The one from The Simpsons, I guess. So
yeah. He's the head. That's Corn
Pop. I want to know how he's in on everything.
That's Corn Pop. He's a bad dude. But Joe knows him. But you know, you gotta have at least a sense of humor with some of this stuff. But so they're bashing in the windows. Yeah, well, they're bashing in the windows, and some of the videos you can hear people saying, "No, that's Antifa. Stop! Yeah. Don't break the windows."
That's right.
And you can even see where they grab these guys and prevent them from breaking some windows. Yeah. But there's a curious picture where these people who have been shown by facial recognition to have been at Antifa and BLM parties. And they're breaking the window with what appears to be a brand new 2x4.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've been to Washington, D.C. a few times. Have you been there?
I have never been there,
One of the things you'll notice...
But if I ever go, I will carry a 2x4.
No, you don't have to, because all around Washington, D.C., especially around federal buildings, there's 2x4s, just clean ones laying around. They've not been weathered, they're not dirty, they're not,
well,
you know, like
had to do with all the construction.
That must have been it. Yeah, that must have been it. I think it was like about a 4-foot length of 2x4. It obviously looked new.
Yeah.
Looked like the ones that were on those pallets, maybe.
Yeah.
And he's bashing in the window.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they get in, and there's a scene where there's about five Capitol Hill police inside of the White House, the Capitol building, backing up. Now, these are armed police inside the building, and they're being advanced on by a crowd of about a dozen or so Trump supporters, most of them with their hands in the air.
Yeah.
And the police come to a entryway where all they had to do was form a blockade there, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They backed up and allowed these people in. And then, of course, finally, eventually, the House floor was breached, and there's a picture, you can see it online, of a guy whose face, again, facial recognition technology, has shown that he's been a frequenter of Antifa and BLM events, standing at the speaker's podium. And there's a guy in the gallery above him with what looks more than your typical tourist camera, leaning over the edge, taking pictures of him, not to mention the person that got the picture that shows both of them.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the security officer that shot this woman, obviously, this was a shot meant to instigate, because you hear shots fired. And to their credit, many of the Capitol Hill police surrounded the woman as she was on the floor and tried to render first aid. But she was, I don't want to get too graphic, but she was shot in the neck. She was bleeding out right there.
Yeah,
it was very traumatic to watch. And it was a difficult thing to see. And I don't recommend people Googling, that's a bad word anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't recommend people people trying to find it, but but I think this is what was trying to happen. They were trying to instigate a riot in the Capitol. See, when these other, let's go back to June. When
who was trying to, let's go back, who was, because you jumped from the shooting of the woman,
yes,
to the riot. Who are you saying you thought was trying to instigate the riot?
Well, I think it's, I'm not going to exclude the Democrat leadership.
Yeah.
I'm not going to exclude
of their awareness.
Well, Joe Biden, I don't know if he's aware of anything, but I'm not going to exclude Kamala
right.
Harris
right.
or Obama.
But in the moment of the people that are there,
but
you're saying
yeah.
through Antifa BLM, they're trying to stoke the fire.
Yeah, and they were put up to it, I believe, because they needed, just like Hitler needed the Night of the Long Knives, and just like Stalin, I believe, or, you know, they needed the cleansing of the Russian government.
Yeah.
They needed something to tar and feather the Trump supporters. And the narrative is already happening.
Yeah.
On my, and yeah, I still have Facebook, but I'm going to Parler and MeWe and,
yeah.
and USA.life with a number of things. But on my Facebook page, I got a guy that's still defending, trying to say there were no Antifa people
there. I heard that this morning, too.
And this is ridiculous. And they're trying to say that Antifa and BLM, all of their things have been largely peaceful. There's a montage. You see a guy, and I think it was in Minneapolis, when the building is burning behind him and there's rioting taking place. It's mostly peaceful here.
Yeah.
But if they need to tar and feather the Trump supporters, because they have to marginalize us, because it's not enough just simply to drive Trump out of office.
Yeah.
They got to, like the head of ABC News stated, where he said that we need to cleanse the movement. We've got 75 million Trump supporters that need to be cleansed. What does that mean? A cleansing has to take place. That's why I use the phrase the Night of the Long Knives, because that's what they did in order to cleanse Germany, to pave the way for the things that took place.
Yeah.
We've got this great reset coming up. And the thing that has hindered it, of course, we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it's the Holy Spirit working to restrain the revelation of the son of perdition, who's the Antichrist, and to restrain the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world. And he works through us, doesn't he?
He sure does. So that begs to question or say, you know, that's where our responsibility to come and stand against.
Exactly.
I think he starts that, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might,
mm-hmm.
and then goes in, put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah, and so, you had pointed that out in Ephesians chapter 6. He uses the stand phrase.
Yeah,
stand,
five times. Word against.
Yeah,
you know, stand I think against. Stand five, four or five, but he says stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand mm-hmm. against mm-hmm. principalities, against powers,
mm-hmm.
against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness.
And then he also says, and having done all, stand.
Stand with, yeah, yeah.
And so we are to take a stand for Christ. And so getting back to this, the Great Reset is the mystery of iniquity.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The move to bring in a global government, they have to marginalize us, because we are the ones the Holy Spirit is using to help resist this and keep it from happening. And Donald Trump epitomizes that for these people.
Yeah.
That is the great anger that there has been, the, should I say, the inordinate level of anger towards him, because it is a spiritual battle. Hillary Clinton was supposed to come in after Obama and bring us into this global order, and she did not get in, and God intervened. I believe directly God intervened. Daniel chapter 2 talks about that. And so what happened then is that God raised up Donald Trump, and Christians got a voice in government, and we were having some tremendous successes. And then, of course, in order to bring about the global reset, which they want to start this year.
Yep.
We're now in 2021. It's this year.
Yeah.
And there's things planned for this month. There's things planned for February and elsewhere in the year.
Which is interesting, Pastor Earl, because mm-hmm. originally the plan was Agenda 21.
Yes.
But they bumped it to Agenda 30. And I think the COVID situation really accelerated them. They said, well, wait a minute. Or maybe it was kind of a false thing. They just got let's look down to 2030. We got time. And boom, here it is.
Well, Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, and this is not some fly-by-night group. Him and Prince Charles did a big thing last year, about a year ago or so, talking about the Great Reset.
It reminds me, it's kind of like the people all go there just like they used to go to, I don't know if they still go to the Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove.
So, like, that's the new Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, Davos is the new. That's the big thing. They had to reschedule their meeting. But, and we'll be talking about more of that in a future program. I've done that in some in the past with Gary Kahn. Time is going quickly.
Yeah.
But what happened is that with Donald Trump, America is the big obstacle. And America has to be overcome in order for this global reset, because it involves everything, government, economics, even religion. And Harris and her cronies have all said that people like you and I and many of our listeners, our religious views are not going to be tolerated anymore. We need to be reeducated. We need to change our views. The Pope is even saying stuff like that, even in the Catholic Church, there's friction because the traditionalists in the Catholic Church that are raising up against the Pope and his revisionism.
Yeah.
But it is a spiritual battle, and we saw it playing out yesterday. I believe that the intent was to spark a large riot. They wanted to see D.C. in flames, like we did in June with the BLM and Antifa riots. But unfortunately, for us, the people that were in D.C. were of a different caliber than the people who were there for the BLM and Antifa. Those people, their passions were running high. They were looking for an excuse to loot and riot and destroy.
Right.
The people who were in D.C. were not. They were patriots. And so when they tried this and they had the riot supplies prepositioned, they weren't able to do much. They did get in. But, okay, here's I remember the State House here in Ohio, in Columbus, was overrun at the end of May. And these Antifa BLM types, they destroyed things. They ran around ransacking offices. They had to be driven out with tear gas and everything. And here's the riotous protesters running amok in the White House, walking orderly between the velvet ropes.
In the Capitol building.
When they broke it. Now, they shouldn't have gone in, but I think they were caught up in the crowd. The shot where this poor woman was shot, a 14-year veteran of the United States Air Force, an Air Force myself. Yeah. Wrong place, wrong time. They took her out hoping that shot would spark gunplay because they believed that some of the Trump supporters perhaps were armed. Because that's been a thing at a lot of the MAGA rallies and Stop the Steal rallies, and I'm a firm supporter of our Second Amendment rights. But I think they thought they were going to spark a gunfight. I think they thought they were going to cause Washington, D.C. to erupt in flames, and they were going to say, see, this is the danger of Trump. Now look at the inordinate urge to get him out of office before January 20th.
Yeah, and you got to wonder why. So, you know, I guess we only have a couple of minutes left here, Pastor Al, but, you know, what do we do? What do our listeners do?
Yeah, and you know, I want to spend some more time in this, but we're lastly
right. Get in the churches.
That's
open
exactly
open your doors
right.
up and get in the churches, or go to somewhere where the doors are open.
Hebrews chapter 10 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is, but what? So much more as you see the day approaching.
That's right. The day is approaching.
The day is approaching. We don't know how much time we have left. The Lord comes back today. It might not be this week. Yeah. It might not be this year, but I'm hoping for it. That's the blessed hope that the Bible, that Paul wrote Titus about. But here's the thing. We need to, as pastors, preach the word, like Paul told Timothy.
That's right.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, because we do live in the time when people are rejecting sound doctrine. And if you're a church member, pray for your pastor and encourage the preaching of the word in your church and be a witness to those around you. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me implore you, this is a time more than ever that we are seeing spiritual wickedness in high places manifest itself. Without Christ, you have no hope. You have no future. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And, you know, you need to find a church. You need to find a Christian. You need to find a pastor that can share the gospel message with you more than we can do in 20 seconds here on the radio. And, Pastor Lutz, I want to thank you. I want to encourage people to listen to you 1 o'clock every Friday afternoon. And join us next time. We'll be talking about this more on Sunday night, I'm sure. Get in church. Join us for our Bible study tonight. God bless. Pray for America.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.